الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes so you can review your notes a little later on. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be on charity. We call it in Islam sadaqah, but we also know it as being charity, or really helping others who are in need. And most faith has charity of some type, or encourage their people or the members of their faith, the congregation, to give in charity. And the sadaqah is spelled S-A-D-A-Q-A-H, sadaqah. So let me move on. Today's topic again is about charity, or sadaqah. And it's one time that Umar, who was the second Khalifa, or the third leader of the Muslims, and then he would go to this one older lady house, blind lady, no one living with her to help her. So he would go to her house with the intentions of helping her clean up her place and cook her food and wash her clothes and the like. This was a great leader amongst the Muslims. He didn't have to do this. He owed her nothing. He wasn't related to her. But when he got there, everything was done. Everything, she had her food. She had, everything was cleaned up. So everything, dishes done and so forth. So it was done. And so he was wondering, like, who was, like, basically taking these blessings from me, or getting ahead of me in terms of these blessings. And so what happened is that he went there a little bit earlier and discovered the one who was giving or helping this lady out and giving his time to the lady was none other than Abu Bakr Siddiq, the trustworthy worthy one of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, father-in-law of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, and the first Khalifa, or the leader after the death of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. And so he saw Abu Bakr doing this, that he helped the blind lady out, cooked her food, cleaned her house, her clothes, or whatever she needed. He assisted her in doing that. Abu Bakr Siddiq and also Umar ibn Khattab, these two individuals, companions of the Prophet, they would vie for who's going to give the most towards whatever effort are going on that the Muslims needed or going on with the Muslims. They both were very charitable. They would walk around. These are leaders. Can you imagine your leader, wherever you are, doing this kind of thing, walking around your town or your village and find out who needed something? I'm talking about unescorted. No guards, secret service, anything like that. They just walked around finding out who needed something, and then they would make sure that individual got what they needed. They need clothing, they need food, they need wood for burning to keep warm, whatever they needed, these two individuals, they will go around town and find out what the person need and bring it to that individual. And so when we're talking about charity and giving, they were a prime example when you're talking about giving. They're looking for photo op, any selfies, anything like that. They were just looking for opportunities to do things to please Allah. And so that's why I want to try to encourage my students during a particular episode, this particular class, is that I want to encourage you to do sadaqah or to give in charity, helping other individuals. So even some of you that maybe listen to me, you may have a lot of money. You may have a little bit of money. And that's maybe true. Or there may be some of you that may have a lot of money. And sometimes you don't even know what to do with your money. You spend it on things, on exotic animals, or maybe a bunch of birds, or a bunch of cars, a bunch of yachts, a bunch of houses, all kinds of things that you do, or pay a large sum of money to get a haircut. These are the different things that people do with their money. I'm not saying I'm not saying they can't do that, or they want to do that. That's up to them. And because there'll come a day when they go before the Lord, and the Lord is going to ask you about your health and what you did with it, and also about your youth and what you did with it, and about your wealth. And what did you do with your wealth? How did you spend your wealth? So I know I don't want to be that person that could go before my Lord and say to him, I spent my wealth on buying a bunch of animals. Exotic animals, whatever it may be that you buy, while these people are starving in different places in the world. I bought cars, a lot of cars, hundreds of cars, most expensive cars. And while people are starving in the world, I bought houses in various countries. And while people, millions of dollars I paid for these houses, while people are starving and they need help in the world. The thing that's going to benefit those who are rich, not looking down on the poor, but assisting the poor. At the very least, assisting organizations that help the poor. You may not want to do it directly. But the thing is that someone else may be doing it, but you're backing them. A lot of organizations that are the helping organizations around the world, they need a lot of help. They need a certain amount of money in order to do the work that they're doing, and you can benefit from it. From giving them the money that they need, so they don't have to worry about struggling to get the money, and also helping the people. Just focus on one thing, which is helping the people because of your support. Even when you die, you are going to die. I say, kulli nafsun dha'iqatul maut. Every soul will have a taste of death. Each and every one of us will have a taste of death. But the thing is, what did we do while we were alive with our health and with our wealth and with our youth? What did we do with it? And so Allah takes your soul and going to take your soul. The thing is, you can leave endowments, what we call waqaf, W-A-Q-F. And those are basically endowments that are going to assist you while you're in your grave. You say, I'm going to leave this money. You keep building this money up and then help the people who are poor. And you benefit it while you're laying in your grave and you can't do anything in terms of helping other people. And so I want to remind my beautiful students about the great opportunity, those who are rich and those who are not, the great opportunity of helping other individuals. So let me also give you some various proofs from Quran regarding this. So you can turn your Quran, because everyone, that's the only text that you have to have for this class. You can still attend the class, of course. But the thing is to follow along and read for yourself, or even read at the class or before class, the various whatever verses in the Quran you want to read. That's up to you. You're going to get something from it, some lesson from it, some historical lesson from it, something that answers that you're looking for in order to deal with life. And so you read the Quran, and it should come to you or help you in order to help you, to guide you upon Sirat al-Mustaqim, which is the straight path. And so right now we're going to turn to chapter 2, verse 277. That's chapter 2, verse 277. And it says in this particular verse, إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. So in this particular verse, and it says, I read it in Arabic, and I'm going to read it in English. Those who believe and do good deeds, establish regular prayers, and give regular charity will have their reward with their Rabb or their Lord. They will have nothing to fear or to regret. So this is a very beautiful thing, is that it says, Lahum Yahzanun. And so, and then before that says, Wala Khawfun Alayhim. In other words, they have nothing to fear, nothing on them that they will fear, and they will not Yahzanun, and they will not regret anything. Because these are the individuals that they believe in Allah, they do good deeds, pray regularly, also they give charity regularly. And so I pray that we are those individuals that pray to Allah, do good deeds, and pray regularly, and also we give in charity. And this is the focus of this particular class. It's all about giving in charity, helping those who are in need. And everyone in some kind of way you can help. If you have, for example, you have $1 or a dinar or whatever you may have, whatever, a real, whatever it's, wherever you live, where your money is called, and then you can give a person half of that. You have 50% of it, and they have 50% of it. And you get the blessing of doing that. You see a person going through a trash can, getting something to eat and drinking from a used cup that a person threw away, coffee or drink or something like that, in the trash, and you drink the remaining of that, or you eat a sandwich that's been bitten once or twice, and thrown in the trash can, and then you eat it. That person needs some help. And you can help them through your generosity, through your giving, or at least help organizations through giving. For example, my organization, which is Muslim Social Services Agency, you can go online, you find it on www.muslimsocialservicesagency. Muslim Social Services Agency.org, and you go to our website and you can find for yourself a place to donate, and we help a lot of people do a lot of things. We feed people, we help the people who are in need of clothing and housing and a lot of different other needs. For example, if a woman or a child are homeless, we try to help them, or they've been battered from domestic violence, that we try to help them and get them in a safe place away from their abuser. So we do a lot of work for the people. And so you can always donate there if you want to, and we will make sure that your money is spent well. This is your opportunity to do something before Allah takes your soul, before God takes your soul. And then your question about your wealth and what do you do with your wealth? And so, again, we're talking about a person who does good deeds. It's a believer. A person who believes they do good deeds, establish regular prayer, and also give regularly in charity. And I hope that you all will be that individual like Abu Bakr and Umar, as I mentioned earlier, and what they did for the blind lady. And they walked through the streets looking for help. Who needs the help? Perhaps even, again, I'm not just getting on the rich people's side. You're rich, okay, Allah bless you with that. And just keep in mind, you're going to be questioned about that. This particular class is not about attacking the rich. They're rich. That's it. Allah bless them. We can't be envious or jealous of them unless they're a person that's rich, but they spend their money to help the poor. Then we can be envious of that individual. Or they have a lot of knowledge and they teach people what they learn. We could be jealous of that particular individual. But I won't go into all the detail. That's not today's class. And so let me move on, my beautiful students. And that is, Allah the Exalted, he said, it's going to be in the same chapter, chapter 2, verse 261. Again, chapter 2, verse 261. And it says, Allah the Exalted One says, the parable of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is that of a grain of corn. It grows 7 ears, and each ear has 100 grains. And Allah gives manifest increase to whom he pleases. Allah cares for all and know all things. And so this is a very beautiful parable, example, a mathal, of a person just planting one seed. Then Allah lets it manifest and grow as a stalk, and on the stalk has 7 ears, and on each ear, for example, ear corn, it will have 100 grains on it, 100 kernels on it. Can you imagine you giving something one thing, and then it grows and blesses, and you get the blessing as if you gave 700 things. 700 blessings is what you're receiving on that one thing that you've done. And so I want to emphasize to those who are out there who have the means, then why not? Why not give to those who are in need? Are you worried about it? The shaitan is going to make you feel like you're going to be poor if you give it to these individuals. No, don't go for it. Don't believe what is being whispered to you, or waswaso, what's being the evil that's being whispered to you, that you're going to become poor. Matter of fact, you may become rich. Like it just mentioned in this particular verse, is that givingness may increase. You want to give it not so that you can, in hopes that it increase, you want to give something to please Allah. Either he's going to reward you in this life or reward you in the next life. But you want to give now. Don't be selfish with what you have. Because like you have it now and you go to bed, you can wake up in the morning either without your life at all, or Allah could take it all from you. Whatever way Allah wants to take it, Allah could take it away from you. So be careful about how you're living. That's anyone out there, no matter if you're a poor person or a richer person. Just be careful how you're living, and kind of question how you're living. Are you living to please Allah, pleasing God? Because your end's going to be one day, you're going to meet your Lord. One day, each and every one of us will stand before Allah, naked and uncircumcised, and ask about our wealth, and about our health, and our youth. You're going to be asked about these things. What would be your answer standing before Allah on the day of judgment when he asks you the question about what did you do with your wealth? I know how much I gave you. I know every penny I gave to you. And you may think, oh, I made this to invest, blah, blah, blah. All these kind of things you might say. But the thing is, Allah bless you to be successful, to assess where you are right now, today. But the thing is, are you going to be successful and hoard it all to yourself? Or are you going to be successful and help other individuals? Whatever way you can help individuals. And again, I'm sure certainly make an appeal for my organization. If you want to donate because of the various people that we help and the very things you want to do in terms of growth of individual and house of an individual and food on the place of an individual. So having various things for the people. This is the goal. and solely the goal of my organization, and we following what Abu Bakr did and what Umar did and what the Prophet did in terms of helping other people and caring about other people and seeing the positive growth. Whatever money that we get, we help other people with it. So I want to emphasize to my students, I want to bring you into what we are doing, what my organization is doing, and what you can do in order to help. You may say, well, I don't have a lot of money. You give what you can. Whatever you can give, whatever you give to us, that's, for example, a quarter or a coin. That coin can, of course, be one more coin that we can give to somebody else. Feed a poor person, a child, or a woman, or an elderly, or anyone that's in need, or a family that's in need. We'll be able to help them through your generosity. So really, this particular presentation is about charity, and it's about also helping my organization. You can go to my organization, which is www.muslimsocialservicesagency.org, and you can donate there and help us to help other people. That's what you can do. I've been teaching this class for a long time. I'm not doing a class just to gain anything from you all as human beings. I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah, and that's it. But if you want to help, so on your question on the Day of Judgment, what do you do with your money? You can say, Allah, I gave my money to Muslim Social Services Agency, and they spent it on the things they said they're spend it on according to their website. You go to our website, and you see exactly what we do for the people. That's it. I'm not talking about just Muslims giving. I'm talking just non-Muslim both. It doesn't matter. It's just we help people in need. Anyone that's in need, we will help them. That's it. And I don't care what your faith is. I don't care about your background. I don't care where you come from. It doesn't matter. You telling me that you need help, I'm going to help you. I'm going to do my best to help you the best way I can. Even I have to refer you to other organizations that will be able to help you. But I don't have to refer you to anyone. It's the people who are listening to me, my students, and those who just came today to listen to this episode, that you as individuals, that you help us to help other people. It is also mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he said, a man, I'm given a dirham. A dirham is like a silver. As sadaqa, charity, during his life, is better than giving 100 dirhams as sadaqa, a charity, at the moment of his death. In other words, don't wait for you to die. You're on your dying bed, and then you say, well, let me give to this organization, that organization. No, do it now. You're not sick or whatever. You're not on your dying bed. Then you do it now. You do it now and ask Allah to please bless me. Please accept it. Accept this. I'm doing it in your cause. Fi sabilillah. That's why I'm doing it, to please you. And please Allah, please accept what I'm giving. Or you can leave an endowment and say, upon my demise, then you give your money to Muslim Social Services Agency. Whatever it is, you keep supporting them for as long as they exist. That's what you can do. And it's more valuable if you give now while you're not on your deathbed than giving when you're on your deathbed. Just giving $1, for example, as it said in this particular hadith, is better than a person giving $100 on a deathbed. So you're going to give now while you can. Let me move on, my beautiful students. A woman said, Apostle of Allah, my mother suddenly died. If it had not happened, she would have given sadaqa, charity, and donated something. Will it suffice if I gave sadaqa on her behalf? the prophet, may peace be upon him, said, yes, your tzedakah on her, yes, give tzedakah on her behalf. So we see from this particular saying of the Prophet Muhammad, this woman was saying, I had to explain to you all because I just read it. I read it to you. But put yourself in this woman's place. Is that, you know, hey, had my mother not died, she would have gave her tzedakah. So can I give her tzedakah now or for her on her behalf? And yes, you can give her tzedakah. So many of us that listen to me, you have parents and others that died. And maybe you want to do something for them. So one of the things you can do for them is that you can donate, for example, to Muslim Social Services Agency on this person's behalf. And they get the credit. They get the credit for it. Not me, you. They get the credit for that. Maybe Allah give us a little bit of credit, both of us. Us that distribute the money, you who donate the money, maybe so. But the thing is, we have the proof here that yes, go ahead and give tzedakah on behalf of your mother. So I'm saying the same thing. Yes, go ahead and give tzedakah for whatever person that died, wherever it may be. And particularly it talked about the mother here, your mother died, and the mother has a special place in our hearts for our mother. We stayed inside her womb or whatever for a certain amount of time. We have a special connection between ourselves and our mother. Or a person who might take you in as their child. And from the day you were born until now, they raised you, although they're not related to you. But the thing is, they took care of you. They, when you were sick or you were hungry or anything like that, they took care of you. And then they died. So you may want to give charity on their behalf. So you can, of course, give the charity to MuslimSocialServicesAgency.org and donate to us. And also, of course, it's for your mother or the person that died. And we will spend it according to your basic instruction. Give it general. Or give it to a general, or you may say it's going for a particular project, but I'm just making an appeal that to all my students out there, I'm just making an appeal, or those who are visitors, make an appeal to you to go to our website and donate and give charity so we can help other visuals, like as mentioned in this particular particular hadith that I'm reading, or saying the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him. Also, it was narrated by Abu Huraira that the Allah's apostle and peace be upon him said, when a man dies, his acts come to an end, or what he does come to an end, but three, reoccurring charity or knowledge by which people benefit, or a pious son who prays for him, pray for the deceased. So just looking at the reoccurring charity, going back to the Waqf, the WAQF, which is endowment. And so that's reoccurring charity, for example. And you continuously, you may have a lot of money, and so you say, okay, this is going to Muslim Social Services, and we're going to always give this amount of money to Muslim Social Services because that's what this individual wanted us to do. And each one of us should have a wasila. A will. You write your will. It should be so many days go by, you don't write your will. You write your will, and then you put in there that you want to give a certain amount of money or whatever to Muslim Social Service Agency, or give all your money to us. And then we use it for the cause. Of course, you got to do certain things Islamically. You had to do in terms, you had to give a certain amount to members of your family, and then whatever is due to charity for us, we take that and use it for the helping of other individuals. I just want to mention, please, my students, and beg you to please donate to Muslim Social Services Agency. I'm making this appeal to you. You can always go to www.MuslimSocialServicesAgency.org, and you can hit that red button, donate button, and donate to us. And so please, 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 I beg of you that to donate your money, give your money, give your charity, and so that we'll be able to help other individuals that need help. And abundant money will not benefit you at all in your and benefit you in your grave. You take it with you. Like some people look at history, that's what some people did. What will benefit you and be reoccurring is that you do an endowment to Muslim Social Services Agency, or you give now. That's something you did, but you give now to Muslim Social Services Agency, and then you get a certain amount of blessing from Allah while you are alive. I want to continue, students, but I'm going to have to stop because, you know, I always limit my class time. To find out more about Islamic faith and increase your knowledge of Islam, you can always go to the regular websites I mentioned to learn more about Islam, International Online University, American Open University, and also Why Islam. And again, you can donate to www.MuslimSocialServicesAgency.org. You have been attending the Islamic Faith in Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.